We're able to stand. Page number 812, Victory of Jesus. Page number 812.
Derek, Brother Joe, and Sister Chris's son,
He's not moving. So they think he might have ALS. So he's supposed to go back, I think, this week again to get official diagnosis on it. And I know it's weighing heavy on him and on his wife. And he wasn't able to get the eye cornea transplant Tuesday. I guess they got him all prepped up to go into surgery, and the plane didn't show up on time or didn't bring the cornea transplant. So just continue to pray for them. They're having a time with it this week, especially with their son. They asked specific prayer for their son, just for what he's got going on with maybe a possible diagnosis to have new therapies this week. So just pray for them tonight. Before we go forward, I'm going to read this prayer letter from Robin and Hannah Reno down there in Brazil. It says, "Dear praying friends, we thoroughly enjoyed having Sophia with us at the beginning of the month. As she gave English classes, we watched as the Lord opened up new opportunities for contact with people. Below is a picture of an evening we spent with the English Club students at ABRE. Pray for opportunities to continue to follow up with these young people." She goes on to say that Adreli held two meetings for ladies this month, one at the church and one on our back porch. This is also the same space that she and Robert used for Bible Club on Saturday afternoons. Pray for them as they work to reach out in the Born Jesus neighborhood. A little over a month ago, our Sunday school kids in Yellowwood began inviting us to their homes to hold classes. The municipal building is still available to us, but we are thrilled to have closer contact with the families as they take turns hosting us. Sometimes the parents stay in the house, and other times they come and join us. Please pray for the salvation of these precious families. This past Sunday night, the Salinas group was encouraged to hear that Kelly had been saved. She is one of Danny's sisters and has come to church off and on for years. Pray for her and her new walk with the Lord. We are blessed to have a team of four leaders from the Brethren churches here helping us in the work in Salinas and Villages. They are taking turns coming out for services and also sending teams from nearby churches. The group pictured above arrived this past Saturday, and a couple went with Hannah to visit Francisco and Kelly Saturday evening. Sunday morning, they were ready before 6:30 to leave for Sunday school in, I ain't going to say it, and then Yellowwood before returning to Salinas for Sunday school and evening service. Pray that the Lord will be honored and glorified as we work together to reach the lost, see believers edified, and leaders changed. Thanks again for your faithful prayers and support. Loving him, Robin and Hannah Reno. So keep them in prayer as they continue to do their outreach there in Brazil. Take your hymn book again, if you're able to stand. It's hard to sit during this hymn. Page number 812 in the blue hymn book. Page number 812. I'm sorry, we did 812. 170. Page number 170. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Page number 170, Saved by the Blood.
Saved by one, saved.
Singing. Hey. Does anybody have any prayer requests tonight? So we'll go forward. Do you have anything? Keep Pastor Reddy in prayer again. I guess he's very sick right now, and keep his daughter in the pregnancy that she's pregnant now, so keep her in prayer. And him and his family, and just the work there in India. Keep Brother Les and Sister Nancy in prayer, and all they got going on. They got some other situations that they're facing. And just pray for him and her during this time. It's on, brother. Yeah, I'm on. Anybody have anything else they want brought up in prayer?
Yeah.
Sister Sher. Yes, ma'am.
Church. Also, please pray. Continue to pray for Ken. I'll keep you kind of track. Now we got an opportunity to really talk to her and find out if she had the track or not. Yeah. My neighbor, Terry, I talked to her a little bit today. And we just prayed afterwards that I could be able to invite her out to church.
Yes, ma'am.
Terry. Her name is Terry, too.
Okay. That's specific. So, Miss Cheryl mentioned David, Tyrone, Patrick, and Terry. Is that the same Tyrone that we got to talk to?
Yes.
So, I messed that up Sunday night. So, I had to talk to... Tyrone wanted to come out Sunday night. So, I misunderstood his address. So, I went to try to pick him up Sunday night. And I went to the wrong street. And up and down the street. And so after church, I called him up. And then I tried to call him while I was looking for him, but it went to voicemail. But we talked afterwards. It was a good talk. So he wants to come again this Sunday night. So pray for that. I got the right address now. I'm going to pick him up. So everything should be good to go. But pray for him. He still wants to come out. And we had a good talk. And so Lord willing, he'll be here Sunday night. But she said David, Tyrone, Patrick, and Terry. And then Kim, she was able to give a track to her as well. So pray for an opportunity there to talk about the Lord with Kim. And then also Terry, her neighbor, that she would come out to church as well. So keep them in prayer.
Oh, one more prayer. I think Terry told me that her son, Eric, he's Eric too.
Eric.
Yeah. And he's about 20 years old. He's my neighbor too. He was very good to me. Now I knew when he was talking to me. She told me that he had cancer.
Okay.
And so they both.
Okay.
So there'll be a blessing.
Amen. There'll be a blessing. So keep Eric in prayer as well.
Yeah, he's going to some
physical issues.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So keep him in prayer, physical issues he's dealing with. Anybody else have anything? Ms. Chang.
Next week I'm going to be visiting relatives in Ohio.
Okay.
And on Thursday, I won't be here Wednesday night, but Sunday night.
Okay.
Thursday, I'm going to be having a Bible study with my cousin and her daughter-in-law, Teresa. I have mentioned Teresa before. She has an alcohol addiction. I think she still has.
Is that tomorrow you're doing a Bible study? The phone. Where you go, okay.
Next week, Thursday, I'm in Ohio. So I appreciate prayer there. Also, we have on our spiritual needs that more children would attend. I would like to have more for the class, but when they come, they don't continue. So I think we should pray for families with husbands and fathers.
I'm 1,000% behind that. I've been praying for that. And I've said this before to some individuals, so we try to do that. Appreciate what Sister Cheryl does, trying to hand out tracts, and others that try to hand out tracts and be a witness and testimony. I mean, I believe that's what we're supposed to do. So you take like ministries like the Cobles to the farmer's market up there in Homestead, you know, holding up the scripture signs, things like that. Sometimes you don't see fruit from that specific ministry. But what I've seen through the years is that God will bring somebody else in from somewhere else. Because I believe He's blessing your willingness to try to get out there and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we used to do a fair booth for years down in Charleston. And I don't think, I can't remember anybody coming specifically from the fair, saying, yeah, I got this at the fair, and that's why I'm at church. But wouldn't you know, two or three families would come out of somewhere else and just show up. And so I do agree, we need to pray that young people come in and more young men. Pray for Eli. I had a good chance to talk with Eli yesterday again. Keep him in prayer. Jonathan, that young man I had that wanted to talk Monday, keep him in prayer. Hopefully he'll come out one of these Sundays. I mean, he lives right down the street here. I know he's 25 years old. Keep him in prayer that he would come back out. The young man that came out Sunday named Dan, that he would come back out again. So yeah, so I agree with Sister Sharon there. Pray that some young families would come in, and young kids, some teens. I got some things going through my mind to try to start trying to do some things to get outreach, to try to get a hold of some kids, bring them in. But you know, we've only been here 3 months. We're going on 4 months. And so there's a lot going on these last 4 months. And so pray for the tax situation with our tax exemption form. Just, there's a lot of things I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm learning on the fly. So just bear with me if sometimes pastor seems a little scatterbrained because I'm dealing with things that sometimes are way over my head and I have no clue what I'm doing. So just pray for the tax exempt form that we got to submit as a church. Pastor Gary did it 10 years ago. I don't know if it's renewed every 10 years. That's what it appears to be. But like the form's 5 or 6 pages longer than what he had to do. So just pray for it. Just pray for that whole situation there, that God would just give wisdom, guidance, and get that submitted in so that we're good to go on the tax exemption side with Pennsylvania. Keep our missionaries in prayer. I think Wednesday nights are important nights. I really do. I think God will honor you if you come to church on Wednesday nights. So Cheryl, you got something else?
Yeah, you know that young man that was in your class?
Ben.
Yeah. Right from him. And he has a little friend. And 2 Sundays ago, I gave his little friend a scrap. And I told him, I said to him, what happened if you're not coming back? And so he didn't really say it. But he told me that he was trying to get his little friend to come.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Pray for Ben and his little friend. She's a little she cracks me up. She's like 10 or 11, I think.
Yeah.
So grown up.
Yeah.
You know? And so she's like, well, yeah, he
So that's good. I mean, the young kids coming up, one thing you realize with young kids, with dealing with them, is some of them have no clue about anything when it comes to the Lord Jesus, the Bible. Nothing. They don't know nothing. So just pray to open doors there, that God would just provide that and be able to get some young kids in there. Okay.
And she is really, really struggling.
She's struggling. Okay. Mazzy's her name. So Mazzy. So keep Mazzy in prayer with the things that she's going through and struggling with. See, one thing I realized too is there's a lot of people going through a lot of things. And that's another reason, like I was saying, I think Wednesday nights are so important. That you can just spend some time in prayer to try to get a hold of God to meet some of these needs, because there's a lot of people going through a lot of things. So keep Mazzy in prayer. She just got married and just dealing with some things, just that God would help her out. Anybody? That's her husband. Her husband. Damien. And he's in the Marine Corps now. So keep Damien in prayer as well. Anybody else have anything? Miss Donna?
We have a pastor, Banana, on our physical needs list. I got a card from him last week, and he's been having a lot of breathing problems, and he said the doctor's talking about putting a pacemaker in. I don't know how that helps you with breathing, but that's what he said. But they're not sure that he's strong enough to withstand the surgery, and he doesn't know if he wants to go through the surgery. He lost his wife last year and the year before, so he's 88. I told him we'd be praying for him.
Fadena.
F-E-D-E-N-A.
So keep Pastor Fadena in prayer and his decision there with the pacemaker and his breathing. Does anybody have anything else at all? Little Sam?
I have a grandson, his name is Andrew, and he is planning to enter military service in the Army on July 19th.
July 19th, yeah.
And he quite frankly has some, maybe adjusting things that he needs to go through to be more acceptable to authority. It's not bad. Okay, you know, he just needs some behavioral things that hopefully he'll get on the right path there and do well. So.
Yes, sir. Andrew. So keep Andrew in prayer. He's going into the Army July 19th. That's real quick. That'd be an adjustment as well. For anybody going to the military, it's an adjustment. So keep him in prayer. Keep Andrew in prayer. Anybody have anything else? Amen. If you take your Bibles then tonight, we're going to pick up again and continue on here for a few moments this evening in our study here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 19. 2 Peter 1, 19. Important portion of the Bible here. Second Peter chapter 1, in verse number 19, he says in the latter part of his chapter, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Let's pray again. Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity this evening. Pray you help us now, Lord. Give us what we need. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts, Lord, to receive something from your word that you would just guide and direct. Lord, no more, no less. Father, that these things would help us to draw closer to You, love You more, serve You better, Lord, and just be a faithful servant. We ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. These last three verses here, you know, going through this first chapter here, Peter tells the brethren, he says, listen, the Bible, the Scriptures have given you everything you need to attain and maintain a godly life. Okay, this is what I believe as your pastor now this evening. I believe that that book that you're holding in your hands, listen, has everything you need for what you need to do in this life. Right? Look, when that young man Andrew goes into the military, if he's a paratrooper, I was watching something before we came to church here tonight. Airborne paratroopers jumping out of C-17s. I like watching that stuff. But listen, I guarantee you, those instructors now gave those men everything they needed to jump out of that plane. Right? They ain't a man jumping out there and the instructor's like, oh no, I forgot to give you... It's too late when he gives him that cord and he's stepping out that door. He better have everything he's got. Or else he's in trouble. That's a long way down. Right? And so the Bible says that we're to endure hardness as what? Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. This is what I believe as your pastor. Now, I know some people believe differently. They think differently. That's fine. I respect that. But I believe God gives you everything you need. And you don't... Look, you don't need me. Now, God set it up to where you have a church and you have a pastor and we're assembled together, Hebrews. I get that. But if all of a sudden we couldn't meet no more, persecution came in, we're running, you should be able to still walk with God even if you're by yourself. Do you understand? And the Holy Spirit should still be able to meet with you, teach you, help you, encourage you, and strengthen you through whatever you might be going through, even if you no longer had a Bible. I'm serious on this. If all of a sudden Bibles were illegal and you couldn't have the Word of God and you got arrested because you did have a Bible and they threw you in a prison cell and you're all by yourself and you don't have anything, you should still be able to meet with God. God should still minister to your heart. God should still be there to comfort you. God should still be there to help you. And what's more important, what the Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart. That's why it's so important to memorize Scripture, to meditate and spend time in the Word of God, because there may come a time you might not have it. But yet you've got some that's hidden in your heart that you can bring back to your remembrance and you can think on. Even if they took everything away from you, they can't take that away from you. They can't take away what you have in your mind and in your heart. So the Bible says here in the latter part, Peter says, remember, 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 remember these things. Put these things always before you. Why? Because there's an opportunity where you could forget. Look at verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And look what could happen. And he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You neglect Bible reading. You neglect Bible study. You neglect going to church. You neglect prayer time. The Peter says, listen, you could get to a point to where you're blind and you even forget. You forget what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, that you were purged from your old sins. That's how bad it could get if you turn your back on God and His Word. So the latter part here, we're finishing up these last three verses, and I've been thinking on these verses, and he says here in verse 9, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. In previous weeks, we looked at verses 15 through 18, which talk about how Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to that mount, the Mount of Transfiguration, where he was transfigured before them. And Moses and Elijah were there, and they were speaking of his decease at Jerusalem. And Peter and James and John, they woke up because they had fallen asleep, and they see him in his glory, and they see Moses and Elijah, and Peter speaks and says, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. And he kind of gets a rebuke from the Father. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And he goes on in the next verse in verse 19, and Peter says, he says, listen, we have a more sure word of prophecy than even what I saw and heard with my own ears and my own eyes. Listen to me this evening. This is so important. This Bible is more sure. We have a more sure word of prophecy. prophecy than if an angel were to come down or some entity were to come down tonight in all kinds of glory and splendor and try to say it's given us something from God. This is more sure than what you could see or hear with your eyes. What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians about Satan? That he can be transformed into an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So your preacher say, preacher, well then how do I figure out who's right, who's wrong? Pray to God and ask God. I believe this. I used to tell this in the juvenile, to the kids at the juvenile center all day long. I used to tell them that. I believe this. If you want to know truth, I believe God will get you truth. I believe if you want truth and you're sincere, see, some people are sincere, but they don't want truth. Some people want truth, but they're not sincere. Sincerity and truth coupled together. Sodium chloride, is that the right one? Sodium chloride is salt, correct? Sodium by itself can kill you, right? Chloride by itself definitely can kill you. You put them together, you got exactly what you need. Apart, dangerous. Together, exactly what you need. Sincerity, absence of truth, not good. Truth, absent of sincerity, not good. But sincerity and truth together, God can do something with that. I believe that was on my heart. I believe you want truth, God will get you truth. And we're going to see that in this verse. Because look what it says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that you do what? Ye take heed. What are we to take heed to? As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. The word heed means this evening. It means to mind, to regard with care, to take notice of, to observe. Listen, those paratroopers jumping out of a plane are taking heed to the instructions that were given to them before they even got on that plane. Now, I don't know if they packed their own chutes. Somebody packs their chutes. I hope whoever was packing their parachutes took heed to how they were packing it. I hope they weren't just lackadaisical, like, oh yeah, just, hey Sarge, how do I put this strap? Well, just throw it over there, it'll be all right. If I'm jumping out with that chute, no, hang on, Sarge. No, it won't be all right. Time out here. No, let's go back to the books. What does the book say where that strap needs to go? I just don't want it flapping in there. It's got a purpose. Right? So if you're packing a parachute because you're getting ready to jump out of a plane, you want, if you're doing it or somebody else is doing it, you want them to take heed as they pack, because that's your life. Why am I staying here this evening and talking to a bunch of people who decided to come out to a building on a hot night, almost in July, to hear some man talk out of a book? Why? Because we believe it. I believe it. I believe the Bible. That's why I'm here tonight. Actually, there's no other place I'd rather be. You say, well, you're crazy. Well, one thing I know recently is that life ends quickly. I've been to too many funerals in the last 4 months. Is the point of ends once to die, but after this, the judgment? Listen, it ends. See, people don't like to think about it. La, 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 don't talk about it. La, 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 don't talk about it. Well, you better talk about it. I was thinking about it when I was 12 years old. Eternity. And this is the end of all men. And it's, I don't want to wait till I'm taking my last breath to say, hey, hold time out a second. Now, let me figure this thing out. I said this at the funeral of the day. I said, what you live by may be good enough to live by, but is it good enough to die by? Let me say it again. The religion you live by might be good enough to live by. It might be moral. It might be correct. It might give you some character. But is it good enough to die by? That's the question. Is it good enough to die by? That's what I want. I'm getting ready to jump out that plane. I want that chute to work. I'm getting ready to cross over to the other side. I want it to work. I don't want all of a sudden to realize, oh, I didn't. It's wrong. And it's gone. It's too late. You see, there's no reset button on life. There's no like going to God. God, can I get a second chance at that down there? Because I messed it up the first time. I'm sorry. But I'd like another shot at this. We don't get a second shot. We get one shot at this thing. Jesus said here, or Peter says here, verse 19, we have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, that you observe it, that you mind it, you regard it with care. Why? As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now listen to me tonight. If you're out in the woods, in the middle of nowhere, sometimes like Glenn and Brian go out in the middle of nowhere at night. Some nights, Brother Wright, some nights if the moon's not shining, you in the woods, it's kind of hard to see sometimes a hand in front of your face. I would assume sometimes he's experienced situations like that. Some of us here have experienced situations like that. You've been in a room before to where it's so dark, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Now, if you were in a place to where you didn't know where you were at, and all of a sudden a light shined, you would, and you needed help, you'd be excited about that light that's shining. And you would take heed to it, and you would listen if there was somebody behind that light, because they're going to help you get out of the situation you're in. He says here, and Peter says, listen, take heed unto that light. That you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You say, preacher, what's that light? Well, take your Bible and look at Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 130. Whereunto you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Psalm 119 and look at verse number 130. This is what I used to give to the kids all the time at the juvenile center. All the time. Because I couldn't be with them every moment. But I knew if I gave them this verse and they took a hold of this verse, God could do something with them in their life. Psalm 119 and 130, look what it says. It says, the entrance of thy words does what? It giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. What I take from that verse, and I'm not very bright and I'm not very smart, but I believe what this verse says, that if you put God's words into you, you're putting light into you. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And then what also does it give you? It gives understanding unto the simple. You say, well, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. Well, first question I'm going to ask you, if you say, well, preacher, I have a hard time understanding the Bible, my first question will be, are you sure you're saved? And I don't think I'll look at it tonight. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 says, listen, that this book is a spiritual book. And it can only be understood spiritually. And the Bible says in John that the Holy Spirit bears witness and teaches us and leads us into all truth. So if you have the Holy Spirit of God and you're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, you have Jesus Christ, who is also truth, dwelling within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with your spirit, and His Spirit will teach you as you read the Bible. An individual that says, I cannot get anything out of my Bible, I would then have to be suspect of that individual's salvation. Now, I'm not talking about being a Bible scholar. But I am talking about God giving you something out of that book. When you open up and you read it, He feeds you. Just like He fed the children of Israel with that manna from on high. You ought to be able to be fed from the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now you can cross-reference this verse back over to Psalm chapter number 18. Psalm 18, and look at verse number 28. 18:28. Look what David says here in Psalm 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28. Look what David says. David says here, Psalm 18, verse 28, he says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. If you're in darkness, you want light, ask God to enlighten your darkness. And I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, the way that light, that darkness is going to get enlightened is by spending time in God's Word. Look over at Job chapter 29. Same kind of theme what we're talking about here. Job 29 and verse 1. Job talks about this principle of God enlightening His darkness. Job 29 verse number 1. Job 29 verse 1 says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Look what it says. When His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. God giving Job light in his darkness. Now, go back to 2 Peter here. I want to finish the second part here. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 19. He says, "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." I believe that light is the Scriptures. And then look what it says. It says, "Until you take heed unto that light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now you get in the Scriptures. If you're lost, somebody's lost, you say, get in the Bible, read the Bible, read the Scriptures, get in the light to help enlighten your darkness. It says here, until the day dawn and a day star arise in your hearts. Now, I believe that day star is Jesus Christ. And it says, until the day dawn. Now, this is what I believe. I believe if you're lost, God's going to give you a little bit of light to see what you do with it. He's going to give you a little bit of truth to see what you do with it. I saw Him do it in my own life. You know, I was raised in church. When I joined the Air Force, I didn't want nothing to do with God. I didn't want nothing to do with God. Got down there to Charleston, did what I wanted to do for almost 2 years, got malaria, got really sick, real bad. When I got better, I remember coming out of the hospital room with Melanie, and I remember thinking, well, that was way too close. I was way too close to dying. And so I started going on a journey. What is truth? Is God true? What's true? What Bible is true? There's 50 million Bibles. Who's telling me the truth? Is Islam true? Is Buddha true? Is Taoism true? Is atheism true? Is there even a God? And God gave me a little bit of light. I already had known some things about God. I was raised in church, so I knew some things. But I started getting in my Bible and I started reading it. And the more I read it, the more I started seeing things. And the more I started realizing, ooh, I ain't got what this book says. I don't have it. Take your Bible, look at John chapter 1. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until you take heed to that light that shines in a dark place, until that day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Look at the book of John chapter 1 verse 1. John 1:1. Look what the Bible says here. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Capital W-O-R-D. That's Jesus Christ. Capital W-O-R-D. That's Jesus Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and the rest of them, they put an A there in the front of that. The Word was a God. No, the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. Right? Jesus Christ is God. If Jesus Christ is not God, we're still in our sins. If He was just a man. Now I said this Sunday, be careful what you watch and what you listen to. If anybody says that Jesus Christ is not God and tears down His deity, you need to get away from Him as fast as you would get away from somebody that's got a gun and pointing at you. Jesus Christ is God. So, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him," who? Jesus. "And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was" what? "The light of men. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shine in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "And He was the light of men." Look at verse 5. "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light," capital L, that's Jesus Christ. Little L, I believe, is the Word of God, the Scriptures. Capital L, that's Jesus. "That all men through Him might believe." Now look at verse 8. "He was not that light," referring to John the Baptist, "but was sent to bear witness of that light," Jesus Christ. "That was the true light," which, look what it says, "which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." Look at verse 11. "Jesus, He came unto His own," the Jews, "and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become" what? "The sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now read that sentence there again, verse 13. "Which were born," jump down to, "but of God." That's what you need. You need to be born again of God. You don't need to be born again. It says, "which were born not of blood." Just because your grandma was saved And your blood lineage is through her. You're not getting saved by because of a blood relationship. Which were born not of blood. You can't get born into heaven because of your family lineage of saved individuals. Nor the will of flesh. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't flesh your way into heaven. There's no way to work your way into heaven. It's impossible. If you can work your way into heaven, then you're God. Because God requires perfection. And you must be perfect. And if you're honest this evening, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're all sinners. So we can't get there by the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. You can't get there by some priest sprinkling some water on you or giving you something to eat and saying, I have power to give you salvation. There ain't no man on this planet that's got power to give you salvation. Nor the will of man. No man can will you into heaven but of God. God's the only one that can bring forth the new birth through Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. Look what it says next in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. Flip over to John chapter 3. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What will you do with the light that Jesus Christ gives you? Now I believe part, and I think there's two parts you can weigh. You can look at the latter parts of that verse about the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. One, I think it concerns salvation. The other, I think it could talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll probably look at that next week. But look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, everybody knows John 3:16, but very few people read past John 3:16. They get stuck on. You go to a football game, probably not nowadays, but used to. If you're watching a football game on television, you go to one, it used to be, there usually was an individual in the end zone or somewhere there, and they'd hold up a sign that says John 3:16. I remember watching when I was a little kid, seeing at the NFL games, somebody holding up a sign that said John 3:16. Almost everybody at some point in the past knew John 3:16. Now, nowadays, I don't know. But used to be, most people knew what John 3:16 was, but they didn't know what was after it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary, and the blood that He shed for your sins, you have eternal life. But look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, the first time Jesus Christ came, He came as a lamb. Jesus Christ, the first time He came, did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to save sinners. Jesus Christ came to save sinners the first time. He was a lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. Second time He comes, He's coming to condemn the world as a line of the tribe of Judah. He's doing some condemnation the second time around. Verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because why? Why is he condemned? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 19. You want the definition for condemnation? See, the Bible define, so often let the Bible define itself, and it will. You don't understand something, the Bible so often will define itself. And here it gives you the definition of condemnation and the reason why. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation. Why are men condemned? That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Why do men like darkness rather than light? Because their deeds were evil. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned against God? They ran, they hid, and they tried to cover it up. What do when we sin? We try to run, we try to hide, we try to cover it up. And then, sometimes when we get confronted with us, what's our fleshly, our natural instinct is to then point the finger or make an excuse. Well, little woman, when God came in the cool of the garden and He's calling out to him, and He finally finds Adam and Eve, and He comes to Adam and He says, "What? The woman that you gave me." Then He goes to the woman and says, "What? The serpent. Run, hide, cover it up, and point fingers." That's what happens when you're confronted with sin. That lines right up with John chapter 3 here. Men don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light and say, God, I'm guilty, I need your blood. That's salvation. Being willing to come into the light and say, God, I'm a sinner, I'm wicked, I'm undone, I'm ungodly, and I need you, Jesus Christ, because you're the perfect one who died for me. Look at verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil, not only do they not come to the light, verse 20 says, Jesus says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. You're guilty. Man don't like when the fingers point at him and says, you're guilty. I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. Man, you know how many prisoners I used to deal with that says they're in there on a false charge? I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. Man, this is I don't know how many kids would tell me that. Man, Chap, I'm in here. Man, I shouldn't be in here, Chap. I didn't do it, Chap. I didn't do it. I shouldn't be here. I'm a false. They arrested me falsely. I'm not the one that did. Listen, you can't get help until you realize you're drowning. Can't get help till you realize you're drowning. They don't come to the light lest the deed should be reproved. But I love verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. The man that does the truth, he's willing to come to the light. Guilty. God, I'm guilty. God says, good, that's just what I was waiting for. Just waiting for you to say you're guilty, that's all. I knew all along you're guilty. Just waiting for you to admit it and see it. Now we can do something about it. Now, I give you, God, I'm guilty, there's no hope for me. Well, no, time out. Yeah, you are guilty, and yeah, there is no hope for you out on your own, but I provided a way out through my Son, Jesus Christ. He became sin for you who knew no sin, that you can be made the righteous of God in me. Here's your way out. Take a hold of it. It's almost like Jesus Christ has God the Father in one hand and he has the other hand outstretched to whoever will grab a hold of it. And you come to the Father through Jesus Christ. That's how you're made righteous. That's how you have eternal life, because of what Christ did for you. He is that light. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You see, John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21 go right hand in hand with Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17, and Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 10, Adam and Eve right there in the garden. They didn't want their deeds to be reproved. So what did they do? They ran and hid. And all mankind does the same things. They run and hide from God, who already knows what we did. Think of how foolish it is to run from God. Where are you going to go? You're going to hide from God? Nowhere. He already knows. He already knows what happened. All he's looking for you is to say, yeah, I'm guilty. And God says, good. I've just been waiting for it. Now we can do something with it. I can get underneath the blood and you can now serve me. Amen. Taking heed unto that light that shineth into a dark place. Real quick, we'll close. I'm going to read that verse again and we'll close in prayer. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. There's a lot there in that verse. What do you do with light? What do you do with truth that's given to you? Do you take it for granted? Or do you try to grow? God wants us to grow. God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to get stronger in Him. Not to stay stagnant. What does stagnant water produce? More bugs? Disease? You can't drink the water because it gets stagnant. You got algae in it. And it's hard for plant life. It's hard for fish life. If it's just stagnant water, it loses its oxygen. You want living water, water that's flowing in your Christian walk. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, whereunto we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Because then he goes on to say in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I believe that light shining there, one of the things it could be, I believe it's the Scripture, and I believe it in a sense deals with salvation. Bringing people to Christ. Are they willing to come to that light so that their deeds may be seen that they're not good, that they're wicked, that they're a sinner, that they need a Savior. Come to the light. Don't run from it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that some of these things made sense, dear God. I pray, Lord, you'd help us always be willing to come to the light. Lord, help us always, as 1 John talks about, walk in the light. We can have fellowship one with another. Lord, that you would cleanse us from all sins if we confess and forsake, dear God. Lord, help us to be about your business. Help us to always stay faithful. Lord, till you call us home someday, dear God, help us not to go home with any regrets, but Lord, go home as a good and faithful servant. Lord, thank you again for this time. Thank you for these brethren that are willing to come out and hear your word tonight. I pray you'd give them a safe trip home. Watch over them. Help them through the rest of this week. And Lord, may we just give you the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So normally here on Wednesday nights, we take a little bit of time to pray. You know, I was looking at Jesus talking about prayer and to go into your closet and pray secretly unto your Father. So if you'd like, I'm going to take a few moments here to pray. I know we used to pray in groups, but I just feel right now just to pray individually, try to get a hold of the throne of God. We got some people going through some things in church tonight. So I just prayer requests, take them before God, Pastor Reddy, the Koval's son, Derek, Sister Kathy and her mom, and just their loss this past week. Just a lot of heavy things going on in a lot of people's hearts, the Hellies, as they try to get their house situated in that closing situation there. I know they got a lot going on, so keep them in prayer as well, and just others that the Lord knows. So if you like, just take some time here, a few minutes, just to get a hold of God and take these prayer requests before us to Him. Amen. I appreciate you, love you, and if you're going to stay, let's go ahead and pray. Amen.